You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Manchester United 1, Arsenal 1. Is this a United performance Ruben Amorim can finally be proud of? Has Bruno Fernandes stepped up? Now that he's a captain, is he less petulant than he used to be? And how do we use prepositions at the end of sentences? Welcome back, audio listeners and video viewers. The Footglish podcast is back. What's the Footglish podcast? Well, it is a podcast which combines my and hopefully also your favorite passion, football, and learning English. And today with me in the studio is, of course, Leontes. And that can only mean one thing, or potentially two things. It could mean that we're going to talk about Manchester United or Dutch football.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be mainly Manchester United, right, Leontes?
Yeah. Life has been too busy to watch two different types of competitions.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough, man. So where do we start? I guess we have to talk about the game that took place yesterday. Arsenal, Manchester United in the reverse order. It was actually at Old Trafford. So Manchester United, Arsenal. What do you make of it? What did you make of it? That was better from you, wasn't it?
Yeah. Of course, it's not anything to be very proud of, I think. I don't think Manchester United is at the stage where they can, you know, be proud of anything. And Ruben Amorim is definitely aware of this. He's very noble in his remarks. He says things like, well, the season is for us is done. We can't change anything. We can't win anything. So the only thing that we can hope for is that we win the Europa League, which I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
They played okay. So I do think something that we do need to mention is that free kick by Bruno Fernandes. I think that it reminded me of the old Paul Pogba at Man United in his second spell. You remember? He was also able to make these, to have these free kicks and finish them off perfectly. Juan Mata as well. You know, those three people, Mata, Fernandes and Pogba, it all came together in that free kick that was excellent.
Now, the truth is, if you want anyone to take that free kick from that position and from both teams, I would probably choose Fernandes to do it, to execute it, because he's just that good. He's got a lot of experience of scoring similar goals and a great technique. Yeah. I may not like this player, but I respect him for what he can do on the pitch.
I also think he is an excellent captain. My lights keep falling. Okay. An excellent captain. And he, he's able to maintain some sort of momentum in the team. I think that's very good. We saw that as well. And a good example of this type of behavior was just around the halftime break, where he kind of stopped Ziyechse of approaching the referee. I think that's a good thing. I think Bruno Fernandes really knows his position and his role in the team. Yeah,
I think he has stepped up. And honestly, and you will have to. Ignore me if you don't like what I'm going to say, but a lot of fans of the opposition teams have been sort of pointing out the fact that he tends to dive a lot and sometimes he behaves in a petulant way and he's just like crying all the time. Whatever you think, you may disagree with me, but I'm going to say this. In my opinion, he has been doing less of this in the last few months.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it was under the previous manager, Ten Hag, I think a little bit. I think he started getting better at this. But now under Amorim, I think he told him, probably these managers sort of had a chat with him, had a word with him, and they said what they don't like about his game. And he seems to have improved that aspect of his game. Would you agree with me? Because I don't remember him doing this in the recent games. He should have a lot of opportunities to do it too, because your results have been awful. Yeah. So what do you think?
Well, I think what you mentioned about him behaving like this under behaving better under Ten Hag, I think he also was a very good player under Solskjaer, a very good player under Ranić. So Solskjaer, Ranić, and Ten Hag, he was a good player. I do agree that I think when the results started to go bad under Ten Hag, he really stepped up. You know, you can see the disappointment in his face. You can see that he's trying to coach on the field, put players in their positions. He really, if there's anyone on the field that wants to win the game, even when they're 3-0 down, it's Bruno Fernandes. And you can really...
He leads by example. For me, this is also a sign of a great player. Like, everyone has a weakness. Everyone has a weakness, right? And his weakness, in my opinion, was his sort of behavior on the pitch, because I think it affects others as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you dive too much, if you like roll on the ground too much, if you behave in a way that you cannot inspire... You cannot inspire your teammates by that, in my opinion. A lot of your teammates will just sort of like be looking at it like with disgust in their face, I think, mostly. But if you really manage to sort of eradicate that sort of weakness from your game, I think that's a mark of a great personality, of someone who shows that they can develop, and he's been given the armband. Right, so that now he's the captain. I think he's stepping up.
Yeah, I agree, and I think his attitude is very important, especially if things turn around and they start winning again. I think the team will be grateful for this Bruno Fernandes now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely, for me, this is better attitude than what Ronaldo has shown in the past. Yeah. Whatever you may think about Ronaldo, a great player, goal scorer, the greatest player of all time, the GOAT. But his behavior hasn't always been top notch.
No.
Neither has been Bruno. Right? So those two players, like the greatest players of the Portuguese national team, you could say, in the last few years, in the last decade. And now Bruno, I think, is sort of winning me over with this, like with the ability to reflect on his own behavior.
I think it's also because he's of course not a player that... Ronaldo is a very good player. And Fernandes is a good player as well, but he's not kind of the core player that everyone kind of relies on, right? When Ronaldo was at United for his second spell, everybody knew, well, he was going to pull us through and win. So there was this arrogance that was sort of expected, I think, sort of self-fulfilling arrogance that Bruno Fernandes doesn't have.
That's true. It makes him more humble, and sometimes I think if you combine confidence with humility, I think this is the best mix for success. That's my humble opinion, pun intended. If you are only humble, I don't think that's enough, because you will never have enough ambition. Right.
No.
So I think if you're confident and believe in your ability to do it and to succeed, that's important as well, which often brings that confidence as well, especially if you are successful long term. It gives you some arrogance as well.
But
if you manage to weigh it up, if you manage to balance it with a bit of humility, with a bit of sort of grain of not thinking you are the best and always thinking forward and always wanting to develop despite knowing that you are good already, that is how you become the best.
Yeah, and not, I think there's another player on the field.
Sorry.
I think there's another player on the field who also has done. Yeah.
So can you say this again? I will remove that part. Sorry. We talked over each other. Okay, you say it again.
So I think there's another player on the field that has the same attitude, and that's Garnacho, Alejandro Garnacho. I think he also has this... he's less prominent, in a sense. Mm-hmm. He's not as present in his attitude as Bruno Fernandes, of course, because he's not the captain or a prime player. But he's also able to reflect, to change, to keep up the mentality of I need to score, I need to fight for my position. So that's also another player that really has the same. And we saw that during the Arsenal game as well. He had a very good movement. He was able to move around the Arsenal players, around the Arsenal defense very easily. So yeah, I think if we compare United under Ten Hag and United now, even though that they're playing worse now,
the results are worse now, right?
The win rate is worse. Yeah, but some players who are kind of bad for the attitude of the team, like Anthony, or you know, I don't know whether the players were bad for the team. I don't know what Ten Hag did to some of those players. But, you know, Anthony is playing very well.
Tortured now.
So, you know, it's something that attitude, like some sort of curse, maybe, that hangs around United.
No, this is important. Like, you need to see something, right? Even if the results are not there, you need to see some sort of positivity out of it. You need to see some signs of brighter future. And if you don't, as a fan, as a United fan, being in the 15th place, that must be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
So I think a draw against Arsenal, a team that is sort of, they think they are in the tight place. I don't think they have been there for the last 2 months. But okay, the Arsenal fans want them to be in the title race, and they are in the second place. So if anyone can put the Liverpool's hopes of winning title in danger or at risk, then it would have to probably be Arsenal. If you like, I mean, Nottingham Forest have a great season, but come on, like, not them. Manchester City, they are out already. They just lost to Nottingham Forest. Speaking of which. So it has to be Arsenal. So a draw against Arsenal with a decent performance, a deserved draw, in my opinion. If you look at the stats, okay, you do have only 1/3 of possession. So Arsenal were dominant on the ball, but that means nothing in football, right, these days. So if you look at chances, Arsenal have a few more. But I don't know about the XG, but I think the XG might be on your side, because you had some... Like David Raya, the Arsenal keeper, had a double save towards the end of the game. You might have nicked it there. Remember that chance?
Yeah.
The double chance you had. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think they can be proud of this result. I mean, it could have been like 3-4-0 against Arsenal, which is also a very good team.
For you, you could have won it 3-4-1, right? I thought you had some chances there.
Yeah, but I don't think that... I think the team mentality is not winning 3-4-0 or 3-4-1. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
I know what you mean.
I think Arsenal also didn't start the game very well. They were also sort of off. It's not the Arsenal off from last season, definitely not.
Yeah, something isn't right there.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we were happy to score through Declan Rice. It was a good equalizer. I mean, a fantastic shot off the post.
Yeah.
We thought, oh, okay, maybe we could win it now. But then it didn't. It didn't happen. And I think in the end, we should be grateful for the draw because of that double save from Raya. So, yeah.
I think overall, we should be grateful for the draw as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Okay, then. I guess it's a fair result in the end, right?
Yeah.
I want to ask you about Mazraoui, because I thought he was excellent in the game. The Moroccan, in my opinion, was the man of the match, at least for your side. Would you say so?
Yeah, I think he played well, definitely. I don't have anything in particular that I thought was excellent. But I think Mazraoui is also improving game after game. That's definitely true.
Okay.
Where in the beginning, you could see that he was sort of uncomfortable at United. It felt off. It felt weird. He's found his spot. Yeah. Nice. I don't think he was a good addition to the team. I don't feel it was necessary, but Ten Hag thought, well, let's make Ajax again.
Now that he's there, we might have to roll with him.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also one more name, Aiden Heyem, because he's an ex-Arsenal player. He is a youngster that came from the Arsenal Academy, I believe. And he's now playing for your team, for Manchester United. I think he played in the second half, didn't he? So what did you make of his performance?
I missed the final part of the game, but I did see him come on, and I heard the commentator say that it was his debut. So that was very nice.
Right.
I haven't seen him play, actually. But was it a good addition to the team?
I was watching the game in a pub with my friend, and you can imagine, like, you talk a lot during the game and it's very emotional, and the focus is not there fully. So
no.
Another friend, Nrup, you know, Nrup,
he
has been on this show many times. He then pointed out to me that this was a player that came from Arsenal, which is an interesting connection there.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that, that Amorim is playing lots of young players, many young players.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Ruben Amorim, let's give him a shot, shall we?
Yeah. Yeah. At least he's not playing Harry Maguire that often anymore.
Come on, he's not. He's improved, Harry Maguire.
He's
not as bad as like 2, 3 years, four years ago, like when he was the joke of the league.
But you know, it's not a show with me if I don't say something about Harry Maguire. It's tradition.
That is true. It's a tradition on. Any shows we've done with Leontes in the past, that's true. That's true. Okay, so now that we have you here then, why not ask you about... We can ask you about Arne Slot. So, top of the league, Liverpool, you're Dutch. So, Arne Slot is from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
There must be very, very... You must be very proud of him, right? Doing so well with Liverpool after Jurgen Klopp, which is a tough act to follow as well.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a Liverpool fan, so every time United loses, he asks me, so how did United play this weekend, you know? But he's into Liverpool, and, you know, I think Arne Slot is doing a good job. I know that Arne Slot is someone well-educated, so I think he studied something at the university here. So he's well-educated, well-spoken, and you can see that in how he does. I do think that he kind of got on a train that was already running, right? It ran well.
That's true. But that can also be messed up. That can also be done wrong.
I mean,
wrong,
have a look at Moyes at United. So, you know, it's not always the case that this happens.
No.
But then again, you know, he inherited a very good team. But then
Fair
again,
point.
You know, he's top of the league now, and he still is, and they're going to win definitely. So that's a good thing.
And the predictions were not like they would win the league.
No.
And now they are going to win it. So I think he deserves more credit than you're giving him. I think you're just being humble because he's from your country. there we are again talking about humility here. But I think so, man. I think he deserves a lot of respect for what he has done with Liverpool
I
this
agree.
Season.
Yeah, yep. Because many of the Dutch many of the Dutch coaches and trainers in the Premier League have struggled. So and he hasn't. So that's very good, of course.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to mention is PSV Eindhoven, who lost 1-7 to Arsenal. So in the Champions League. So how about that? Did you notice that result as well?
No, I heard about it while watching the game. I think one of the commentators mentioned, well, Arsenal found out that Manchester United isn't PSV. So I thought, okay, well, that makes sense, of course. This is the first time I heard about it, about the actual results.
It was 1-7 at home as well. It was
in the Europa League?
Yeah, no, it was in Champions League in the Netherlands. So that was a terrible result for the team of from your country, obviously. But then... At least your mood, obviously, must have improved after that United results.
Yeah, well, I mean, PSV is considered top tier in the Netherlands, right? It's PSV, Ajax and Feyenoord, Rotterdam,
right,
who are usually the top three. Sometimes we have AZ, who played against Tottenham in the Europa League. So that's kind of our best of the best that we have. My team, Groningen, is not that good.
But I like the name Groningen. Groningen.
Yeah.
I told you before, Czech people can say We can say, because we also have it. Not like yours is a bit like stronger, but it's tough for English people to say her, I think, because they don't have that sound.
Right? Groningen,
Groningen. Okay. And on that note, Leontes,
I think it was interesting. 7-1, losing 7-1 to Arsenal. But then again, you know, Arsenal is of course top tier Premier League, so it's not like you've lost 7-1 to Fulham or something. That would have been worse, I think.
Okay, Leontes, and on that note, we're going to part ways here on this podcast, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
I'll do the language corner as usual. Thank you very much for being a guest and talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Manchester United. It's always a pleasure, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care, man. Welcome back to the language corner. Today, I would like to take a look at how prepositions can be used at the end of sentences and questions. So normally, prepositions are used somewhere in the middle of a sentence or a question, but occasionally they appear at the end. For example, in the interview with Leontes, I asked Leontes, what did you make of the United's performance? That was better from you, wasn't it? And Leontes responded to that by saying, it's nothing to be proud of. No, actually, he said, it's not anything to be proud of, which is pretty much the same thing. So notice how the preposition of is at the end. Now, this happens when we have relative clauses. For example, this is a type of performance that we should be proud of. That we should be proud of, or just we should be proud of, is a relative clause. Okay, it tells you more information about the word performance. What kind of performance is it? It's a type of performance that we should be proud of. And in those type of sentences, clauses, we put prepositions at the very end. Yeah, it's possible to say also, this is the type of performance of which we should be proud, but that sounds way too formal. Let me give you another example. I could say, this is not a football team that I am interested in. Again, we can just say, this is not a football team I'm interested in. This is not the kind of football that I'd like to look at. So notice how the preposition always goes at the end. The same happens when we ask a WH questions. For example, what are you proud of? What is the most interesting thing that you have been involved in, right? What is the strangest thing you have ever had to look at? Well, that's more of a combination of a WH question and a relative clause. Anyway, I am getting a little bit sidetracked here. The point is, sometimes in English, we use prepositions at the end, in relative clauses and in questions. What is important for you to remember is how we actually pronounce that preposition. Most often than not, prepositions are pronounced with their weak forms. So instead of, you would say something like of. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, right? I'm not interested in it. I'm not interested in it. In it, almost you say like in it with the weak form. But when this preposition is at the end of the sentence or a question, it's always pronounced with the strong form, because we put one of the most important words are always at the end of questions or sentences. That's why. So what are you proud of? Proud of, not of. Yeah. And then you can respond by saying, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of Arsenal. Of. Well, is this the team you're proud of? Of? You see? What are you proud of? What's the team you're proud of? Do you notice the difference? I hope you do. There are some other cases when we can stress prepositions, even when they are in the middle, but those are usually just for special emphasis. Okay, guys, I hope this was understandable and clear today. I went slightly off script, I have to say. It was a bit longer than I wanted it to be, but that happens sometimes, doesn't it? It happens to the best of us. Anyway, if you do enjoy these episodes, please let me know. I don't know, because I know I have some listeners. I can see the number of downloads. But to be frank, I could do with some more comments and feedback from my listeners. Okay, guys, don't forget to like this video if you did enjoy this episode of the FootGrish podcast. And take care, everyone. Look after yourselves. Bye-bye.